Thank you for joining Paul Bartlett for Rethink It, the podcast that pushes the boundaries of thinking about leadership and life in a world that is thinking less about church.
Well, welcome to our very first Rethink It podcast, the podcast where we'll examine aspects of my new book, Rethink It, Unlearning How We Think to Reach a Changing World That's Thinking Less About Church. Some of my goals for you is that you would be acknowledging your own biases. We all have them. They're not wrong, but we have to acknowledge that we have them. We want to talk about the church's response to the global pandemic and how we move into the post-pandemic world, what things we need to keep and what things we need to rethink. I want to talk about the nature of power in the church. It seems a little male-orientated, a little lopsided towards the platform, a little orientated around certain gifts. I wonder if it's time to rethink the way we see power in the church. We're going to talk about the way we speak to ourselves, the way we need to rethink that, the message, the internal voice of what we say to ourselves, and of course, what we say to others. These things critically affect how we live out our life. And then I want to be able to teach you skills of unlearning. I want to talk first of all about how or why it is that I wrote the book, Rethink It. I guess you've probably had this thought from time to time that if you want to succeed in life, what you've got to do is constantly add more knowledge upon knowledge. In other words, to grow, there is more information you need to take on board and apply it in your life. Well, of course, I'm all for learning and I'm all for adding new knowledge. Really, I began to ask myself, what if the foundational knowledge, what if what I was taught was not quite right or in a changing world was needing to change? If the foundation was wrong, then maybe adding knowledge to that foundation was not going to help me. In other words, in order to grow, I started to realize I may have to unlearn what I already know in order to go forward. And this is the premise or the thought of the book, Rethink It. You know, around about the time that I was thinking about writing this book, I saw a great YouTube clip that just helped me, I guess, have a picture of what it means to unlearn, or the challenge of unlearning something that we've done for so long. Of course, this YouTube clip's called The Backward Bike, and there's a link on this that you can go and have a watch. It goes for about 13 minutes. It's worth a watch. But in this video, Destin, a guy who took a normal bike based on the principle that once you learn to ride a bike, you never forget. And he took a normal bike, he got his mate to reconfigure the steering in a way that when you turn the handlebars right, the bike goes left. And when you turn the handlebars left, the bike goes right. And of course, that might look simple, but as you watch in the video, it becomes very, very difficult. And he's proving the point of how difficult it is to unlearn something that we learned years ago, but we now do by default. And I want to ask you a question today, right up front in this very first podcast. What is it that you need to unlearn that you haven't been willing to do because you tried to do it and you, it was like riding a wobbly bike. You were unable to do it, so you just went back to the old. And if you're a church leader or a church pastor, or maybe you're attending a church, what is it that you know needs to change, but you've been unwilling to change because you've noticed how difficult it is? You know, here in Australia, and you might be listening from another country, but certainly here in Australia, and I suspect in the countries that I'm working in Europe, Canada, and even into the States, that there is actually a decline of church attendance. In fact, here in Australia, in the latest church survey across all of Australia, it was noted that in the movement or denomination that I'm in, we progressed to the number two fastest growing, supposedly, in the nation, up from 5 over the last 10 years. And the reason is apparently because we grew by 0.6%. That's right. We elevated to the top of the list because we simply grew by 0.6%. And I found out this, that most churches that are recognized as doing well have either plateaued or had minimal growth, and that moves you forward. I think we've got to rethink some of the practices and the ways we think about church. You know, there's another aspect of Rethink It that we want to talk about, and that is this, that all of us have a bias. I said this at the start, and I know this is hard to believe, but I've had to acknowledge over the years that due to my education, training, due to my background, my cultural environment, due to the nation and the place that I've grown up in, I have a range of biases that I apply to the Bible. And here's what I think. Some of the things I think are good and God, but some of the things I think are good and God are not, and have turned out to be not God, and sometimes not even good. You know, I remember once sitting in a room full of leaders, and we were discussing something in the Bible and the different perspective that each one of us saw. And all of us really saw this Bible verse very differently. And out of frustration, somebody in the room said, well, look, we're never going to agree on this, so why don't we just take the Bible at its face value? And she began to share what she believed was the face value of that scripture. I was a little bit shocked, because what that person was really saying is, your views aren't the true view. My view, which is the face value of the Bible, is the true view, and we should adopt that one. Now, here's what I've learned. Is while I always, when I speak, I'm hoping that what I'm saying is true and right and God. But because I'm human, I have to realize that I carry a bias with me when I communicate things of the Bible. For example, did you know, if you've read my previous book, Thank God It's Monday, I refer to the church as not being a cruise boat, but in fact a rescue boat. But during COVID, these last 2 years, I watched many other pastors refer to the church in this time as a battleship, and they showed a picture of a big warship, guns blazing, which is almost the complete opposite of what I'm describing the church. But you know what I've discovered? Both of those can be right. Sometimes the church is in battle, but sometimes the church is a rescue boat. The point is this: we can't insist that our narrow view is the only view of what the Bible is describing about a certain situation. Did you know that Jesus was actually, even though it looked like he was teaching the disciples and teaching people, most of what he did was help them unlearn what they'd learned for many, many years. You know, one of my favorite pictures is in Matthew 5, you know, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And as you read through there, it looks like Jesus is teaching his disciples, but actually what he's doing is he's saying things like this. He's saying, hey, fellas, you've heard it once said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus said, you have to unlearn that. From now on, I want you to love your enemies, pray for them, and bless them. He was getting them to rethink what they'd thought for decades. You know, the other thought about this I discovered when studying and thinking about Rethink It, is that so many times we want instant and we want miracles. And I believe in miracles. But actually, it's interesting to note that Jesus only really did miracles with the crowd. With the disciples, he did process. He almost never did a miracle for the disciples themselves. They saw many, they were a part of many, but he never did it for them. And I think the reason is because Jesus knew he wanted to transform them, and they needed to carry the message of the gospel. And Jesus knew, for example, with Peter, who was full of pride and always thought he had the right answer, he says things like this: Peter, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. He was redescribing power to Peter. Peter thought it was all about getting noticed, being the loudest person in the room, when in fact, Jesus was saying, Peter, if you truly want to be great, you'll have to be the most humble person in the room. This is almost opposite to how they've been taught and led their lives to this point. Can I encourage you, when we're talking about power, I think we need to get back to the day in the church where we're not trying to elevate ourselves just on platforms, where we want to be noticed and seen as an influencer and seen as those people that are getting all the limelight. I think we need to become those kind of leaders that are humble enough to say, you know what, if I never get noticed, I'm just going to do what God has called me to do. You know, over the coming few weeks, I'm going to have some great guests on my podcast. People like Julia Abel, who, along with her husband, Joel, led for 20 years in the largest church in the world, Hillsong, and talked to her about why she rethought her leadership journey. People like Pastor Mark Varughese, who is leading Kingdom City Church, an amazing church here in Australia and across the globe. And the social demographer, Mark McCrindle, who puts all of the data behind how we need to be thinking and rethinking as church leaders. And of course, Pastor Wayne Alcorn, the national leader for Australian Christian churches, tells us amazing thoughts around how to lead as both a father and a family man and a leader of literally 1,000+ churches that he oversees, as well as his own church. So stick with us. We're going to have a great time over the next few weeks, rethinking not just church, but life and leadership. Thanks for joining us.